is hard. Her voice screams callous and her touch raw. You think she doesn't care, but she does, and she always has. You mistook her tenacity for bitch. She is quick. She can time travel like you've never seen before. You saw her tomorrow and didn't realize because you were stuck in yesterday. You mistook her forward thinking for Detro. She is quiet. Her silence scares you because it makes you unsure of yourself. She compels you to swallow and taste your vices. You mistook her composure for judgment. She is vital. Her urgency in this room is undeniable. Your rejection of it only ensures that her visit maintains. You mistook her necessity for oppression. She is unseen. If you had to guess, she would be everywhere and nowhere. Her body is not contained to the visible realm. You mistook her presence for absence. She is radical. Her mind is bottomless, but not like oceans. Bottomless like Black History and Panther bullets. You mistook her revolutionary for hostility. She is secure. Her ego suffocates your inner zealous. You wonder who could be that home. You mistook her confidence for hubris. She is sweet. She is diligent. She is imperfect. She is voice. She is ready. She is now and then. If you asked her why she is always misunderstood, why she is a giver even when we are takers, she would tell you it is because she is a leader.
You're listening to Our Mirrors Reflections via Anchor.fm. Anchor FM makes podcasting easy, especially for a startup like me. I love using this platform because it's free. You can accept sponsorships as well as its ability to automate distribution of your podcast across majority, if not all, of podcast channels. You should give Anchor a try. It's free to sign up. Thanks so much for following Our Mirrors Reflections. Hey, welcome to Our Mirrors Reflections with Andrea Jackson.
Hey, Andrea.
Thanks for joining me today, Charlemagne the God.
What's happening?
I'm so excited to have you join me today.
I'm glad to have a conversation.
Oh, man, it's been an honor. I've been watching you for years, and I love where your career has gone.
Thank you.
Especially with you talking about mental health. It is something near and dear to me, and I really think our culture, I really think our people really, really need it.
Mm-hmm.
And especially for a Black man is something I found in my home, having three brothers and a father, that we just don't talk about it.
Mm.
I was taught what happens at home stays at home. And to see someone like you that kind of shares the background like myself, my mom is a Jehovah's Witness. I know that your dad used to be.
Yeah, and my mom. My mom still is.
And your mom is one.
Yeah.
So it's interesting just how that family background is of we just can't really share our emotions. And to see you put that out there today really says that to our men that we can do this. We can put our feelings out there and not be judged. And I think that was very courageous of you to do. It's not an easy thing to do. And I saw something last week that I really want to touch on and I really want to dive into it, what Monique stated. She had put something on your shoulders that I don't think you deserve to carry that weight of you putting stuff out there that changed our culture.
Yeah, she said I destroyed the Black community.
I don't think you deserve that, to be honest with you. I think you are an entertainer. I think you do have the power to kind of sway people, but I don't think that's your job. I think as a mom, I think parents have a job to do at home, but I don't like that. And I love Monique. I love what she stands for as far as women, but I don't like that she put that on you. And I love how her husband corrected her.
Mm-hmm.
That's not your job. You can change. People can change. And I see the change in you. And it really bothered me. Because although you may not always state how you feel, I know as individuals, we hold back our emotions. And I think you take a lot of heat for folks. No, I really do. I think you take a lot of heat. And I think when you're sitting on this platform, you have to. And you have to kind of put on this persona of I'm strong. And I really think you need to get just a tad bit credit okay, for saying, you know what? Mental health is real.
Absolutely.
Mental health is real, and I'm talking about it, and people can change.
Yeah, I mean, listen, when Monique said what she said, I didn't really take it too serious. And honestly, the reason I didn't take it too serious is because I think one thing that therapy has helped me to do is to have more empathy for other people. Like, and I don't know why, for whatever reason, I first noticed that when the good brother Nipsey Hussle mm-hmm. got tragically taken away from us a few months ago. Mm-hmm. Actually, like 4 months today, right? April, May, June. Yeah, 4 months ago today. And I remember one of his people was calling me that evening, that afternoon, and describing to me what happened, mm-hmm. right? Describing to me what happened in the parking lot that day. Mm-hmm. And I remember that person saying to me, he kicked him. And I was like, what do you mean he kicked him? And mm-hmm. it was like, after he shot him, he kicked him. And I was like, kicked him? And that just sounded, when I heard it, it sounded just like horrific to me, right? Mm-hmm. He's like, why would you kick somebody after you shot him that many times? Like, how much do you hate a person?
It's so personal.
And then my homegirl, her name is Lisa, she sent me the video. She's from L.A. She sent me the video, and I don't watch stuff like that. Like, mm-hmm. I don't like when people share that kind of trauma. And, mm-hmm. But I didn't know what it was, so I clicked on it. I was just looking at it because I really didn't know what it was. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, once I saw it, I'm like, oh, my God. And I saw him kick mm-hmm. Brother Nipsey, and I said, man, in that moment, I had so much empathy, mm-hmm. not just for Nipsey. I mm-hmm. felt bad for Nipsey and sorry for Nipsey and immediately sorry for his family, got on my knees, prayed for his family. But I also felt sorry for the guy who did that to him. Mm-hmm. I'm like, yo, that person is hurt. Mm-hmm. That person is in real pain. That mm-hmm. person has so much trauma in him that he's never dealt with, and all he's doing is redistributing that pain to other people. Because when you go out of your way to shoot someone like that, but then you kick them at the end, that lets me know, like, yo, you've been holding that in for a while. Like, you had a personal vendetta or some hate or some envy or something that you was holding against this man for a long time, and Nip probably didn't even know it.
Didn't even know it.
Didn't even know that somebody hated him that much.
Didn't see it coming.
Exactly. And I mean, mm-hmm. I think that's the scariest thing for anybody who, you know, I guess has some notoriety, you know, because mm-hmm. I don't see it. I don't know how people that walk up to me in the street really feel about me. Like, it's mm-hmm. somebody that I've never met who every day of their life, they probably think about doing some type of harm to me, mm-hmm. you know? So, When I hear people like Monique say things like that, that don't bother me because I see the same thing in her. I see
right.
pain.
Right.
You know, I see somebody who may need to forgive, not for the people that she's forgiving, but for her own.
So she can
her
heal.
Own sake. And even forgiveness is a new concept to me. Something that I'm still grasping, still trying to figure out because it is a couple people I really don't like.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like it is
right.
a couple people that I really wouldn't mind something happening to.
Right.
You know, like, that's just the truth to the matter.
I agree.
So it's hard for me to, with the forgiveness thing, but when I see it in that way, where I'm like, man, yo, you've been talking about the same thing for the past 15 years, Monique. Same people, Oprah, Tyler, Lee Daniels. Yo, if they did you wrong, I'm sorry, but
when do you release
it? You gotta release it.
When do you release it? When do you let go? And not until you release it and let go, you can't move on.
Absolutely.
You can't continue to keep regurgitating the same stuff.
100%.
When you continue to regurgitate the same stuff, you don't move on to your present or your future.
That's a fact.
You continue to live on in your past. And I find that that's what's happening. And what I find with you is we all make mistakes, Charlamagne. We all are imperfect people.
100%.
We all laugh and joke at things that maybe we shouldn't. That's what makes us imperfect. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, we can redeem ourselves.
Yeah, but the problem nowadays is social media doesn't allow your future to coexist on its own. It's like the future and the past always has to run parallel. That's why I always say this generation would never let Malcolm Little become Malcolm X.
Mm.
Because Malcolm would have went to jail, came mm-hmm. home with his Quran, mm-hmm. been out here preaching in Harlem, mm-hmm. and everybody would have been talking about how he used to be a pimp. Everybody would have been talking about how he used to do drugs. Everybody would have been talking about how he used to hit women, whatever it was. Like, mm-hmm. they would have kept bringing up that, you know? And I mean, I understand that, but it's like, yo, you got to give people a chance to grow. You got to give people a chance to evolve. Like, I'm not the same person I was 2 years ago,
None
4 years ago, 6 years ago, 8 years ago. Like, I'm constantly growing and evolving, and I appreciate that because mm-hmm. Muhammad Ali said, the man who's the same at 50 mm-hmm. that he was at 30 has wasted 20 years of his life. And I feel like I've never wanted to waste a moment. And maybe it is because I grew up reading Message to the Black Man by Elijah Muhammad. And I grew up reading Malcolm X, autobiography of Malcolm X. And I grew up reading From Niggas to Gods by Akil. So I always understood that transformation process, that evolution. Like, that's why I love the Nation of Islam so much, because they'll take those guys from the gutter, those women from the gutter, and turn them into kings, turn them into queens. And I've always gravitated towards stories of growth. Like, I like when people come from the bottom.
And work their way right up.
Yes, came through the worst circumstances. That's why me and you connect.
That's why we connected.
You know?
You know, we see change, we see growth. And you know what? I think the problem with today is that we don't want people to let go of their past.
Mm-hmm.
We want to constantly throw it in their face. And the only reason why people continue to do that is because we have not forgiven ourselves for our own stuff.
Mm.
That's what it is. That person have not forgiven them, their self, for their own stuff.
Oh, the person that's coming at you.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
That's what it
got
is.
Got you.
They see that you are moving forward, that you have forgiven yourself for your indiscretions, but they have not forgiven themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And they're upset.
That's real. Apology. The best apology is change behavior. So it's like, I've never really been good at saying I'm sorry verbally, mm-hmm. only mm-hmm. because I don't feel like that means anything.
Mm-hmm.
I really
action.
Don't. It's action.
It's action.
You know what I'm saying? Let me show you.
Yes, that
you know,
I'm sorry.
That I'm sorry. Like, I can't... Saying I'm sorry don't mean nothing. That's why I hate nowadays when people... Like, with these guys on Twitter. Like, I saw Mario Lopez this week.
Mm-hmm.
He said what he said about the transgender kids, mm-hmm. and he got all of this social media backlash. So immediately, he's like, I'm sorry.
It means nothing.
I've learned so much. Bro, it's been 12 hours.
Yes. Like, you couldn't have learned anything in 12
yeah.
hours. Show me.
It's 12 hours.
Make some change.
Right. And by the way, I don't think what he said was wrong.
Right.
You know?
Right.
I just think it was worth a conversation. Like,
right.
we got that's another thing we got to stop doing. Let's stop acting like everything is right. Let's stop acting like everything is wrong.
Right.
There's nuance. It's areas of gray
right.
in between that black and that white. Let's
right.
meet in the middle in that nuance and have a conversation.
There's gray areas.
That's it.
You know, people are raised all sorts of ways. People's backgrounds are different. And I think we need to be open to that. If you are raised a certain way, or you are raised in a certain neighborhood, or you have certain parents, that's all you know. And if you then take that person and you put them in something different that they don't know, they're going to react to it.
Absolutely.
What do you want from them? It's up to us to show them something different.
Absolutely.
And teach them something different.
Absolutely. That's what I'm 41 years old now. My favorite thing to do nowadays is unlearn, you know? Like, because I'm going to be honest with you. As a black man, growing up in the hood, growing up in hip-hop culture, we were raised wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just a lot of things that we were taught, a lot of things that, you know, that influenced us in our culture that was just dead wrong, whether it's selling drugs, carrying guns all the time for no reason, beefing with your brother, the way we used to talk to women, treat women. Like, we were raised wrong. And it's like, yo, you get to a certain point where you like, I got to unlearn all this nonsense.
And
like,
it takes time.
It takes time. Like, so, don't none of this serve me no more.
We're not going to do this overnight.
Mm-hmm.
So when people say, well, you were throwing this out into the media, this was learned behavior.
Yes.
What did you want from me?
Yes.
This is all I knew.
Yes.
So I could only do what I know.
Absolutely.
You understand?
Yes.
And now when I'm saying I'm changing, you're telling me, well, is it real?
Yes.
Yes, it's real.
Absolutely. I mean, I can't even tell you I'm
a work in progress.
Yeah. I'd rather you see it. I'd rather, like how you said to me, you've watched me grow. I get that. I get that so much. I get people to tell me, oh, you've grown, you've evolved. Like, I get it all the time. And that's the greatest compliment somebody can give me. Like,
I see it.
Yeah.
I see it, and I see that it's real. And you know how you and I met, and you know how we had that conversation at Soho House. And from
mm-hmm.
that moment on, I saw it.
Mm-hmm.
I saw the books you were reading. I heard it on the radio about how many books you were reading. I saw the change. So I know deep down in my heart, for me, because I think we know each other on a different level.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not from parties, and it's not from any of that. It's really on a brother and sister level.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel people may know you as, you know, a radio guru, but for me, I really wish people will get to know Leonard, the man,
mm-hmm.
the husband, the father. The whole black man don't cheat, I think it's deeper than what people are opening up their minds to.
Yeah, I mean, listen, one thing about me is I always say the easiest thing to do in the world is wake up every day and be myself.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever I'm on, I'm going to put you on. I've been with my wife now for 22 years. We've been married for, I think it'll be 5 this year.
Long time.
We've been together since we was kids. I did dirt, she did dirt. You know?
But hey.
That's it.
I was married the same amount of time.
That's what I'm saying.
We have two children.
That's what we got three.
So we've been through a lot of stuff together.
We grew, like, you talking about growing. Like, we was kids. Like, we was teenagers. Like, the first time I ever filled out a job application at a radio station, she drove me because my license was suspended. Like,
wow.
We was kids. Like,
that's
we were
history.
Kids. That's what I'm saying.
History.
So it's like, yes, I cheated. Yes, she cheated when she was in college. Like, a few times. Like, it happens.
We have all been through that. And to me, honestly, I think that makes the best marriages.
Yes.
Because you've been through stuff.
Yes.
And let anyone tell you that marriages don't go through stuff, they haven't been married long enough.
Absolutely.
And they have not been in a relationship long enough.
Absolutely.
And I always say to people, do not be the person in the window looking into someone's window telling them how to run stuff. You're not in the bedroom. You're not in the basement. You're not in the closed doors. You're not underneath the bed. You're not in the closet. You don't know how a relationship is running.
That's right.
Which means you can't give me any form of information. Every marriage is run differently. And every marriage takes something different, Charlamagne, to run.
Yes.
We all have our different wants and needs. It's not one size fit all. What may work for you and your wife is not going to work for myself and my husband.
Mm-hmm.
Just have different wants and needs. Each child, we have three girls.
Mm-hmm.
Each child is different. I have a daughter and a son. They're completely opposite. What worked for Bree is not going to work for Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
Just two different children, two different personalities.
I'm glad you said that, because even when it comes to relationships, like when we do the whole black men don't cheat thing, like I'm old school. So me and my wife, we one-on-one, we faithful. Like that's what it is. Like I like being faithful to my wife. I feel like my energy is better when I'm faithful to my wife. Plus I saw the damage that, you know, my family went through when my father, you know, was cheating on my mom, ended up marrying the woman he was cheating with. And it's like, I feel like it kind of ruined our family in a sense, right? So like Duvall, he got a woman, but him and his woman have, like, a relationship where they mess with other women.
Right.
But either way, it's about honesty.
Honesty.
It's about commitment, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, that's all I'm saying in the Black Men Don't Cheat record. Like, I'm only telling you what I'm on. I don't cheat. I'm faithful. My skin glows better when I'm not putting my dick in the dirt.
Okay.
Like, I just enjoy being faithful to my woman. So that's what I'm telling y'all. Black men don't cheat. I can't speak for what everybody else on. And I also say that there's a lot of grown boys out here.
Right.
The song is Black Men.
Okay.
Don't cheat.
Talk on it.
You know? Not, I ain't saying nothing about the black grown boys. I said the black men.
Men, okay?
Don't
out there, are you listening? Men. We're talking about the men, not the boys.
And by the way, women would be shocked to realize a lot of guys are on that. Like,
yes, they are.
This ain't nothing new. Like, I've been having these conversations have been going on for a while now.
Okay.
Like
behind the scenes.
Yes. Men are like, man, I'm going home, be with my woman. Like, we ain't they not even on that.
They're not out in the street.
No.
Okay, I had a good time. Thank you, ladies, but no thank you.
We especially if you was really out there.
Yes.
If you and I'm talking about on both levels. I ain't even just talking about being with a bunch of women, just being out in the street.
Yes.
Like, you want that stability at home.
I used to be out there in them clubs.
Yeah.
I used to be out there, so was my husband. But there comes a time where you just want to settle down.
That's it.
You just want to come home to your kids.
That's it.
You just want to go home to your man.
That's it.
You know, and that's it. And at the end of the day, don't you get tired of doing the same thing? You can't be 40, 50 doing the same thing.
And it's ego, too. I always say men cheat for ego, women cheat for emo. Meaning, like, a lot of times when women go out with another guy, it's probably because they're not getting that emotional connection from their significant other. Me, as a man, it's just straight ego.
Mm-hmm.
It's like we're taught the more women you sleep with, the more of a boss you are. You know, you're a player, you're a Mac, you know what I'm saying? You that nigga when you can. We used to be in the hood doing points, meaning like you sleep with a girl, you get a points. Whoever had the most points in a summer.
He was a G.
Yeah.
I'm
like, yo, you know how whack that was, right? But it's just like it was all ego. But what you realize is you're really pouring into a cup that got a hole in the bottom.
Coming right out.
It comes right out. It never gets full.
Coming right out.
So it's like, we all got a little ego, right?
It's not always a bad thing.
No, not at all.
All of our egos need to be fed.
Yes, but what are you feeding it?
What are you feeding it?
Like, because when you're really feeding it something nourishing, it doesn't betray you.
That's right.
Ego betrays you when you're feeding it the junk food. Like when I said, you're pouring into a cup that's empty and there's a hole in the bottom, so it never gets full.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like nothing is ever really feeding your ego. But when you, for me, being a great father mm-hmm. feeds my ego. Being a great husband feeds my ego.
Which means your belly gets full.
Yes.
Right.
Being a great friend mm-hmm. feeds my ego. Being able to provide for the people that I love and care for. Mm-hmm. Being a public servant mm-hmm. feeds my ego. Like, that's the type of stuff that makes me really feel a sense of, like, self in a real way. Like, I'm really walking in my purpose. You ain't walking in your purpose when you're out here just getting a bunch of random pussy.
No, you're not.
Like, no.
You're not. Actually, it's very lonely.
Yes.
Got to be lonely.
Yeah, you wake up in the, I've woken up in hotels with a woman laying next to me, and I'm like,
why
are you even here? Like, why are you even enjoying the fruits of my labor? Like, you wasn't with me, you know, shooting in the gym, as Drake said, for real. Like, yeah. You wasn't with me when things first started. Like, and I remember Kevin Lyles told me this like 10 years ago. Kevin Lyles said, Charlamagne, I see where you're going. Mm-hmm. You know, he said, trust me, you have no idea what you're even capable of, but you will, over the years, you'll start to realize it. He said, I want you. He said, I can't tell you to get married, but I can tell you to find somebody to share your life experiences
with. Which is your queen.
That's my queen.
The one that's been rocking with you from day one.
Yep.
And that's where it matters.
Yep. And when he said that, I knew that. Mm-hmm. You know, like, when he said that, I knew that. I'm like, in my mind, I'm like, I already got that. Mm-hmm. You know, but you got to, like anything else, you got to claim it for real, for real.
You got to claim it for real. And you know what? Your daughters, at the end of the day, and you notice as a man, they will look at you when they become women, and it will mean so much to them that you made their woman a good woman. They mm-hmm. You made their mom a good woman. You made her right. You mm-hmm. honored her. And people say marriage is just a piece of paper. And I believe it is. But at the end of the day, your kids want to see that you made your wife their mother.
I don't think it's nothing doper than a family.
Yes.
I think when I see a black man with a black woman and they got black kids, I think that is just a beautiful
thing. I love
thing.
To see it.
I love it.
I love to see it. It just does something to me. I mean, my parents had six of us. Mm. You know, and my parents were married for a very long time before they got divorced. And when they got divorced, it did something to me. Mm. It did something to all of us. Mm. None of us was the same. You know, when you see a family break up, it does something to you. And listen, when I got divorced, it killed my soul. Mm. And it killed my kids. And to see us come back together after 4 years of divorce, my family is my everything.
Wow.
Is my everything. And I got to tell you, I definitely learned that you have to have your man's back at all costs. You have to know your place as a woman. I really feel black women, we have lost our place.
Explain that, because when you say know your place, people are like, what do you mean know your place?
We have, at least I will speak for myself, women, because I know you're listening. I started to make a lot of money and I lost my place. And I wanted him to know that I was the shit. Mm. And I got great credit now. Mm. And I could buy what I want. Although he was the one buying the brownstones. He was the one buying the nice cars and holding me down for many years. I wanted him to know I could do it too. And it changed our relationship. And it took some time and a few things had to happen for me to realize that my shit was stinking. Mm. And it woke me up that he was always by my side, always held me down. And as we, as black women, we get our education, we're beautiful, we're smart, we get our great jobs, our six figures, our big bonuses, we tend to start to really show our asses in front of our men. Mm. We can't do that. We still have to know our role as a woman. We still have to know our role as mothers. We still have to know our place and still need, we need to let our men be men. We don't have to emasculate them.
Yeah, I agree with you. I wonder if it's because men have failed, black men have failed our black women in a lot of situations. I wonder if black women were forced to boss up.
I think it's both.
Yeah.
I think in some cases, yes, our black men have failed us. And I think in some cases, we emasculate our men. When they lose our job, sometimes we like, you ain't shit and I'm paying all the bills. Like, he lost his job.
Yeah, you're supposed to have his back, like,
you
encourage
know,
him.
So I've seen both sides of the table and I could own it.
Like Method Man said, on All I Need, you know, rub me on my back and tell me things will be okay. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's all a black man needs sometimes. Like, as long as you got your queen in your corner and your queen is encouraging you and She's helping you shine your crown, and she's pushing you. It don't matter what situation you in, you're going to always come out on top. Like, I've been, since me and my wife been together, I've been fired 4 times from radio. Like, she's been with me dead broke, and it was times where she had to pay the rent. Like, I remember when I got fired from Wendy's show in 2008, and I was so... I was too proud to go down to the unemployment office. I'm like, man, I can't go to the unemployment office. I'm like, it's been on Wendy's show for the past 3 years. We've been on VH1. I'm not going to the unemployment office in New York. Wow. And by the way, this was before social media and all of that. And I still didn't want to just be seen down there.
Wow.
And my wife was working, and she was working at like this blood center, but she wasn't making enough money to pay the rent. So we ended up getting behind on the rent. And like, she had to go down to the courthouse and explain to them why we shouldn't be evicted and yada, yada, yada. So it's like, for me, I think about things like that. Mm-hmm. I think about how she held it down to the best of her ability, mm-hmm. even when I couldn't. Mm-hmm. So it's just like now, I spoil her. Like,
you give her the world.
The world. Because not, number one, because I feel guilty mm-hmm. just about a lot of things that I've done mm-hmm. in my life and our relationship, right? Mm-hmm. And number two, because I genuinely do love her in a real way. And that's mm-hmm. the other thing I don't understand about men. Like, we have more loyalty to our dudes than we do our women.
I don't know why.
It's the weirdest thing in the world, right?
But not weird, because you have to understand who their dads are.
Mm.
What did they see growing up? Yeah. Where were their fathers?
Yeah.
This is learned behavior. You can't break the chains, Charlamagne, if this is all you've seen. You could only break the chains if you have grown up and realized this has damaged you and you don't want to teach this to your children.
Yes.
That's the only time this is going
to
happen.
No, I get it. That's why, like I go to, you know, you wake up with your woman, you go to sleep with your woman. That's mm-hmm. That's really my best friend. We got 3 kids together. You know what I'm saying? And I got homeboys that I love that I call my brothers. Mm-hmm. Those are my peoples, but they not my wife. And it's like, even when you think about the cheating aspect of it, like, why would you lie to the closest person to you? You wouldn't even do that to your homeboy. Your homeboy would be calling you a snake if he found out that you was lying to him in that way. You know what I mean? Or if you was doing something behind his back that you know could potentially hurt him, he'd be looking at you like, I'm not fucking with this dude no more. Y'all might even fight, like, because it's like, yo, you're a disloyal snake. Like,
so how could you not hold her in that same value?
Exactly. And that's it's the weirdest thing to me. Like, I remember just sitting back thinking about that one day, like, yo, how could I ever be such a snake?
Just can't.
My woman.
A woman has to be your right hand. Just has to be. Your core.
Word.
Because she's already proven she's going to ride with you no matter what. She's proven that.
Absolutely.
Like every aspect of your lives, she's proven that.
That's a fact.
And to me, the seal of the deal and the most important is bringing life into the world for you. To me, as a woman, that's the most important thing a person could do for another person is bring life into the world.
Yeah, man, it's so weird when you've been with somebody for that long, because it's like, I remember, you know, when she didn't have a real license, she had, like, the driver's permit, you know what I'm saying? Like we had, the driver's permit, and then, like, the one where you could only drive at a certain time. Like, you had to be in the house before 7 or 8, like, it's just weird watching us both grow. Like, I watched her go through college. She watched me work at all of these radio stations I named, the 7 radio stations I've worked at, she knew, watched me work at every single one of them. So it's just, like, interesting for us to be at this point. And it's so much more enjoyable when you're laying on when you're laying on a beach in Anguilla and you just, like, yo.
The journey.
Yeah, or you on a boat with your family and you, like, yo.
Can you believe we're here?
Yeah.
And thinking about going down to court, thinking about 17 years old, 18, 19, and now looking at it and looking now at 41, what that journey was like.
Yes.
You know, and how we stuck it out.
Yes.
To me, that's real.
Paying off your wife's student loans is dope. I didn't go to college.
Huge.
Yeah, I didn't.
But that's huge.
Yes, because I understand. I remember her stressing about that.
Oh, my God.
And having to make those payments.
That'll give you alopecia.
That's
for
what
real.
I'm saying. She had that. Yeah. So did Dr. Natasha Sandy. Dr. Natasha Sandy had to get her right with those, that PRP in the head, those headshots. Like, she had that for real.
So when people say, you know, I hope the change with him is real, it doesn't matter.
No.
Because the reason why I named this show Our Mirror's Reflection, because when you look in the mirror, that's all that matters.
Absolutely.
What you think of yourself every morning when you look in that mirror, That's all that matters.
Absolutely.
What other people think of you, it doesn't matter, because everyone is going to have a different opinion on Charlamagne or on Andrea.
100%.
And at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. That's your opinion.
Yeah, and you know what else, too? Growth and evolution is going to happen regardless. It don't matter if other people are saying, I don't believe it. Like, mm-hmm. it don't matter. Like,
right.
I'm growing. I'm evolving. And
right.
what people are seeing now is, like, this is not new. Like, this isn't something that I just started doing yesterday. Like, I've
right.
been doing the work for a few years now.
Yes.
People just started paying attention. But
right.
you know why you started paying attention? Because you notice it. You're like,
you noticed it.
Something different. Like,
right.
The shine is different. The walk right. is different. Like,
but it's been going on behind the scenes.
For the longest.
Long time.
Longest. Yeah. Like, it's not new. Like, this is a 4 to 5 year process that's happened. And by the way, I'm probably still going to make mistakes at 41 years
You're
old.
You're human.
Yes.
And we all do, and we will continue to.
Yes.
And at the end of the day, I always say this, it's for my God to judge me. And you know what? Every day, God forgive us for our sins. Who are you?
Exactly.
Who are you?
That's a good question for social media.
Who are you?
Because social media really thinks that they're the end all, be all. And it's kind of sad. Like, I hate seeing people just like, buckle to the mob mentality that's on social media a lot of times. Like, yo, these people don't care. Like, why do we go out of our way to impress people that don't even care about us?
At the end of the day, this is what I have to say about Instagram and social media. People will put up their bestest, or people will drag people. You better have a sense of self.
Word.
And you better have a sense of who the hell you are, for real. Because that thing could really make you or break you mentally. You have to have mental strength and physical strength and emotional strength.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
And spiritual.
And spiritual. And I thank my mother every day for giving me a higher strength and a higher belief in my God. Because I wouldn't have gotten through half of the things I got if I didn't believe in him. So I don't pay attention to the social media. I know you have to do certain things for business, but I don't even feed into that. And these young kids today, I pray for them because they're not built like us.
No, man.
They're not built. They are not built like us.
Not at all.
Think about our journey and what we have been through in the hood.
Yeah.
They're not built like us.
Yeah, even when it comes to what people call bullying nowadays. It's like, bro, that's what we used to be jonesing on each other.
I was jumped. My hair was shaved. I've been through mad stuff.
Your hair got shaved.
Yeah, I was jumped and they cut off the front of my bang.
Why?
I mean, because this is what they do in Southside Jamaica, Queens.
Yeah, you grew up in Left Rack.
Exactly.
Like, you grew up with Nori.
With Noriega and Capone and all these guys. I mean, this is how this is what happened.
Child, you just jump you and shave your head is crazy.
But this is, you know, it's like today society, I think, I don't want to say we have to toughen up. I just think parents have to do their job. Parents have to be actively involved. They have to communicate with their children.
Yeah, I think it's interesting to me because people are just afraid to have those confrontations and those conversations nowadays. I guess because we grew up in an era where there was no phones.
Right.
We had to have those confrontations. At some point, you had to man up and look that person in the eye.
Yes.
And y'all had to either crack on each other, talk about it, fight, whatever it was. But all of that just gave you a tougher skin. And you realize that, like, none of it really is personal. Like,
right.
you know, you can't really tell on this device, this smartphone.
You cannot.
But you're taking a lot of things personal that you shouldn't even be taking personal because the truth of the matter is none of these people know you.
They don't know you.
The people we was going at it with, we actually knew. Like, I could say things to my cousins or say things to people that I grew up around that I knew really hurt them because I knew them.
Right. It was personal.
Yeah.
But these people don't know you.
They don't even know you.
They know nothing about
nothing.
You.
Nothing.
And half of these people honestly can't even write.
No.
When I look at these things, I'm like, really? You need to go to English class.
You're right.
And you need to learn how to write, first of all. So you just can't take these things personal at all. You just have to look at it and laugh and say, you know what?
I don't even put it in my spirit no more, though.
I'm glad you don't.
Yeah, I don't go on.
Don't even wear it. Don't take it in. Don't even bother.
I treat it like a tool. Like, I post on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
I like Instagram a little bit because Instagram is a little more filtered.
Yes.
And you're kind of controlling your narrative. So you can post a picture, post a video.
Yes.
And a lot of things that I do is basically discussions on Instagram. Like,
right.
this morning I posted a video because my guy Glasses Malone was on. And Glasses was saying that from 92 to 1996, Snoop Dogg was a bigger star than Tupac.
Uh-huh.
That's a great just hip-hop debate that you can throw on social media
right.
and have a discussion with people about.
Right.
You know, or I can just, if I'm discussing something political, we could, like, but all of that stuff is something that you can actually discuss.
Right.
So it's not just a bunch of people commenting. Like, I don't even, right. I hate the cesspool that is Twitter, because I'm not asking for these ads.
Right.
Y'all just tell, I don't care what you think about me today.
And don't even read it.
Word.
Don't even read it. Don't even read it. Don't even fill your mind with it. It's something I do when I come home, when the kids come home, I sage. Everybody.
Mm.
Before everybody walked through the door, and, you know, B hates it. He was like, I can't stand a smile. I don't care. Everybody gets sage because I don't know where you was,
that's
who
right.
you was with, and what their energy was, and I don't want it in the house.
That's right.
So I sage everybody when they come in the house and before they leave the house, you know, because the energy with people, you just don't know.
Yeah, I'm an energy person.
You know?
That's why I always tell people, monitor your energy when you're around people.
Mm-hmm.
The people your energy goes up around,
yeah.
you should be around them more.
Yes.
People your energy goes down around, run.
Run. Stay
like,
away.
Run.
Stay away.
And you got to trust your energy. Like, stop worrying about everything else. Stop worrying about, see, we worry about people's positions. We worry about people's salary. We worry about who people are. Like, F that. You might not, I don't care who that person is. If my energy goes down around you, I don't want to be around you, bro.
The truth of the matter is this. I used to worry about money. And I started writing a third book, and it's called When I Stop Chasing the Money.
Mm.
Because at the end of the day, money will always be there, and you could always make money. But time, you can never replace time.
That's right.
Once you've lost time, you're not getting the time back. You have to be careful who you surround in your space with.
That's right.
If people are not sharing the same ideas of you, the same narrative and how they think of family, you've got to stay away from it.
Absolutely.
Got to stay away.
100%. I feel the same
because
way.
Because they will suck the life out of you.
Listen, man, the hardest thing in the world, and I'm sure you deal with this coming from Left Rack.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm from a small town called Monk's Corner, South Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
And it's people that I genuinely grew up with and love,
mm-hmm.
you know, because just of the history and stuff that we shared. But you just know y'all not on the same page mentally no more
mm-hmm.
or spiritually no more. And it's like you got to kind of distance yourself. And then they start having animosity towards you and resentment towards you just for no reason. And that's why they always say when you achieve some level of success, it's not you who change. It's the people around you that change. And for me, I got 3 kids. You know, mm-hmm. I got an enterprise that I'm building. I got people that depend on me. Mm-hmm. I can't put myself in certain situations.
At risk.
So if I gotta, if for you to be happy with me, I gotta come home to Monk's Corner mm-hmm. and come kick it with you
mm-hmm.
in under a tree somewhere, drinking beer and smoking weed just to prove to you I'm still real,
no.
I'm cool.
You can't do that.
Nope.
You can't do that. Here's the thing about that. I love the people that I grew up with, but the truth of the matter is, when I got locked up, okay, that did something to me.
Mm.
That taught me that I have to change the environment that I'm in. I can't continue to do certain things. I can't continue to hang around certain people that's doing the same things. If I want to change my mindset, I have to change my environment.
Word is bond. People, when you talk about mental health, yo, environment and mental health go hand in hand. You growing up in these hoods, you growing up in these rural areas in the South, like, we don't see much. You know, that's what that, like, we see the liquor store, we see the check cashing place.
The Chinese restaurants
spot,
that's
the Chinese
killing
restaurant.
Us are inside.
Absolutely. And it's like, nobody around you has ever seen anything to really give you any real information. Like, my only escape was music and books. Like, I used to listen to music and hear these guys talking about these different places and talking about these different things. And I used to read a lot. And my mother was always telling me, read things that don't pertain to you.
Mm-hmm.
So I would be reading everything from Judy Blume, the stuff about UFOs and Sasquatch, to, you know, the socially conscious stuff like Malcolm X, autobiography of Malcolm X, stuff like that. So I just was taking a lot of different information in. And that's what was able to help me transcend my circumstances.
Wow.
You know, other than that, my mindset would have stayed right in that small town. You know, at the time, population was like 7,000. It's like 10,000 now, but I'd have had that same small town mentality, and I'd have been content with sitting under the tree with a deuce in a brown paper bag, drinking it, you know. And that's just not what I wanted for my life.
And look where you are today.
All praises due to Allah.
Look where you are today.
I really feel that way.
You see?
Yeah.
when you really know and believe in your higher being. That's what it's about.
But you got to vibrate higher. I got a homegirl named Snow the Product. That's what she always says. She's vibrate higher. And like that's what I feel every day of my life. How can I vibrate higher? Like, can I do this meditation? Can I do this therapy? Is it a vacation? Like, is it a new conversation with somebody? Is it a new book? Like, what can help me vibrate higher? I always want to be vibrating at a higher frequency. I even think when we talk about social media, the things I put on Instagram, I wanted to vibrate at a higher frequency. Mm. Like, I was having a conversation with somebody just now because they were talking to me about the Black Men Don't Cheat song. And they was like, you know, the thing with you, Charlamagne, you vibrate on a higher level. But, you know, your boy Lil Duval, he's, you know, you're mixing the sacrilegious with the profane. I said, stop. Mm. Stop right there. Mm-hmm. Number one, that's my friend for over a decade and some change.
Okay.
And that brother vibrates on a higher level.
Okay.
His message is just a little bit. No, you're looking at the messenger instead of the message.
Right.
And you may not like how that messenger is delivering the message
right. Because
of the way he talks, but right. That's our problem nowadays. We don't know how to communicate with each other. Mm-hmm. Like, everybody's trying to communicate in this PC, polite way. Let people be
who
themselves.
They are.
Exactly. And
when
you let people be who they are, mm-hmm. like when you let people who they are, you get the best of people.
That's right.
Or you may get the worst of people.
Right.
But you get exactly
transparency.
What that person is. Yes. That's absolutely.
Right. Transparency. That's all you can ask from somebody is the realism.
That's it.
If you want something sugar-coated, that's not who they really are.
No. That's definitely not who I am.
You know?
And never has been. You know, mm-hmm. I'm not that person. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know how to sugarcoat things. You know, if I feel something in my spirit, if I feel something in my heart, because I pray for discernment every day.
That's right.
I pray for discernment every day. I pray for God to guide my tongue. I pray for God to guide my words. I pray for Him to guide my heart, my spirit. I'm not intentionally trying to hurt anybody, intentionally trying to offend nobody.
That's right.
So if it's something that's on my spirit for me to say, I say it. You know, and I tell my friends fall back a lot of times. Like, mm-hmm. it was a conversation we was having on the radio yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Angela Yee wanted to get one of my homegirls involved in it. Mm-hmm. And I said, nope.
Mm-hmm.
No need for you to even be in this conversation. Mm-hmm. Like, this conversation don't benefit you in no way, shape, or form.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just aware of how I see the court of public opinion mm-hmm. flip things on people. So I didn't even want her to get involved in that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we got to know that too.
That's right.
You know, that's part of us. Like, what to get involved in, what not to get involved in, what to protect our people from. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
So I'm definitely there with
that. That's growth. That's growth.
Mm-hmm.
That's where you are. That is growth, where you can see something ahead of time before it even happens.
Yes.
And stopping it.
Absolutely.
So I am so honored that you've done this with me today.
No, I think that we need more mindfulness podcasts. And I think that you have a podcast that is in that mindfulness space. Like, this is good for our mental health, like the vibe of it. Mm-hmm. The energy of it. Like, I listen to Oprah Super Soul Conversations, mm-hmm. and I listen to my homegirl, Debbie Dev.
Love her.
Dropping Gems. You know Dev?
You introduced me to her.
Oh, okay, got you,
and
got you.
I fell in love
with
her. I'm inspired by her. I listen to her when I'm running in the morning, and oh, my goodness, thank you
for putting me on. Y'all have the same kind of energy.
Thank you for putting me on to her. She's amazing.
And it's interesting in my life, you know, they always say you attract what you are, but I always feel like I attract people that are way better than me, and they make me want to be better. And Debbie Dev, y'all are those kind of people. That's why I'm like, we need more of these mindfulness podcasts. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I listen to Oprah Super Soul Conversations, mm-hmm. and I listen to Dropping Gems with Dev, mm-hmm. and I've listened to yours, and it's that energy, mm-hmm. you know? So I just think we just need more of this. It's a pleasure for me to do it.
I'm so grateful. I am so glad you took time out your day to do this. We had Charlamagne the God today on Our Mirror's Reflections,
hey.
Guys. So exciting. Stay tuned to next week.